curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, here again with Ron Kitchens. How are you this morning, Ron?
Carla, I could not be more pumped to be here this morning. Can you believe it's already September and it's football season? For you, that means the kids are back in school. Me, it means college football is back. My Saturdays are now complete. I no longer have to do that honey-do chore list on Saturdays. I could not be happier.
It is crazy. It feels like summer was here and over in just a quick flash. And speaking of time, today, Ron, we're going to be listening to a keynote that we recently heard from Vaughn Washington Jr. It was presented at a recent event that we had here at Southwest Michigan First called the Future of Generations event. And I know you're really excited about what was shared at that event.
I am. You know, we had Vaughn speak as well as we had a panel follow up. You know, I got to admit, I have a mad crush on millennials. I am just so fanboy about what that generation stands for, about how hard they work, about how committed they are to social causes, to their friend groups, to their passions. And but doesn't mean I'm not a big fan of my own Gen X or, you know, those above or below that. But this podcast really put things in perspective for me. And it was an amazing event that we had with about 100 leaders in the room. And again, I think we're in great hands with the generations coming up.
Well, awesome. Let's listen in together and see what we can learn together.
We are very lucky today to have one of our own presenting. And so Vaughn Washington Jr. is, as a lot of you know, Vaughn and I know he's one of my closest friends. We became friends because he was my access point to see President Obama speak. I just want to tell you, I used it, I begged. I remind him that we met at the grocery store one time. Is this the truth? Yeah. And the truth is that Vaughn is an amazing leader, and he's one of those people that identified that I just want to meet this person and hang out, and we become great friends. We were lucky enough that Vaughn joined our team at Southwest Michigan First as he prepared to move into leadership position to lead the Kalamazoo Promise. And so to have somebody who understands the job side of it to translate to education was critically important to us. And now if you were at today's announcement or have followed it, so we've now jointly moving into the same building together. So the Kalamazoo Promise Community and Schools and Southwest Michigan First will begin to share a floor, share meeting space, because we believe that education and jobs are one continuum. And there shouldn't be that segregation, but you can only do that if you have an amazing leader leading that education side of it. And that amazing leader is Vaughn Washington Jr., my friend. Please welcome him.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to talk a little bit about generations in the workforce. I don't profess that I will tell anybody anything they haven't heard before while we get started here. But I am excited about some of the things that I have been able to see and some of the stuff I've been able to study. Working at Southwest Michigan First, I'm on their board, and I had an opportunity to go and talk with Gallup about millennials. We've heard this word, millennials. Different things pop into different minds when you start hearing the word millennials, Gen Xers, and or baby boomers. So we'll talk about it just a little bit and what that might require for us as we move forward. 35,000 people in a change. Now, Ron, I asked Ron, I said, now, I want to make sure, because this is one of the big points that's going to happen over the next 10 years. 35,000, and I was saying people, are going to be leaving the region. But Ron reminds me that it's paychecks. That's money that's going out of the region. 35,000, and right now we're not on pace to replace them. Now, we already know that we need more than 35,000 people to come in for us to continue to be successful. What's our strategy? What are we going to do? If you're faced with that, 35,000 people, and in your organizations, you're probably starved at some point for talent at all different levels. I've not heard anybody really say, no, we're good there. We got everybody we need. Thanks, but no thanks. Everybody's looking for a talent strategy. And you're having to look in different places than you've had to look before. And you aren't going to always be able to find people that have this wealth of experience that you're going to be able to pull from this pool of people that already been in the workforce 10, 15 years. You're going to have to look at talent coming in. Now, I was told one time that talent has a way of figuring it out. Imagine if that was a part of your strategy. Just that talent has a way of figuring it out. And I'm sure there are some talented people that are in here right now going, man, if that was the strategy, I'd be moving like nobody's business if they just worked on how talented I was. But that doesn't always work. But for the people that are in the room that are able to kind of take some of this in today, these are things that we probably want to think about. How are we going to replace that? And those 35,000 paychecks, everyone in here represents a part of the strategy that's going to change that. So someone will come in here and they'll leave out of here and they'll go, man, I didn't learn anything, or there's nothing I can do to impact that. And you're absolutely wrong. Everybody that's in here plus has to be great at helping impact this strategy. And it is a regional thing. What's good for one is good for the other. And we have to take that approach. So 35,000, generational changing of the guard. Once again, another slide, the evolving workforce. What does this look like? Millennials now are making up the majority of the workforce. Now, some people just disregard that. Oh, well, so what? They're just coming in. Or is that something that you have to pay attention to? What you're hearing and what we'll go through just briefly are some of the stereotypes and some of the myths about these millennials, Gen Xers, and baby boomers. And some of you probably already have some of the ideas in your mind about that. But as the workforce evolves, we're going to have to evolve with it. Quickly, you'll understand and think that the suggestion here today is that all of us are going to have to do something and learn. And then not one group, I don't care if they're the largest group, smallest group, can be negated for the skills and abilities that they have. We're all going to have to do it together. There'll never be a time when we're not all together. So let's take the baby boomers, 1946, 1964. We won't call anybody out in here asking about where you fit, but I am not in the baby boomer. I'll just put my own out here. But you take baby boomer, optimistic, self-worth, tied to career success, live to work. Also with boomers, let's take this. Boomers are the first generation to actively declare a higher priority for work over personal life. They generally distrust authority and large systems. Their values were shaped primarily by a rise in civil rights activism, Vietnam, and inflation. They are more optimistic and open to change than their prior generation, but they are also responsible for the me generation and the pursuit of personal gratification. Those are our boomers. So just keep those in mind as we get to a little bit of the meat of what we're going to talk about. Gen Xers, 65 to 80. Yeah, I'm up in here. And I cross a couple of these, but I'm in here. Latchkey kids, independent, self-directed, self-sufficient, skeptical of authority. Now, I was considered a latchkey kid. Both my parents were working. I lost my key more than I ever want to admit. My mother told me, if you lose your key again, you'll never get another one. I used to sneak in the basement window until she was home one day, and then that was the end of that. But I was a latchkey kid. But as a latchkey kid, you almost had to be independent, self-directed, and self-sufficient. You were working on your own. You were feeding yourself on a lot of occasions. Hopefully something was there, and you were having to make your own decisions. But let's look at the Gen Xers. Generation Xers are often considered the slacker generation. Now, I just admitted I'm in this generation, but for those of us that are in here, we're considered the slacker generation. Naturally question authority figures and are responsible for creating the work-life balance concept. Now, we've heard about the work-life balance concept, and that's one that continues to resonate and becomes a target for each one of our organizations and our culture. Born in a time of declining population growth, this generation of workers possesses strong technical skills and is more independent than prior generations. Those are our Gen Xers, and let's get to our millennials. Confident, idealistic, expect feedback, recognition, work to live, grew up with technology. Millennials. This group is the first global-centric generation, having come of age during the rapid growth of internet and an increase in global terrorism. They are among the most resilient in navigating change while deepening their appreciation for diversity and inclusion. These are our millennials. Probably saw some things in there that maybe were myths and or legend about these particular groups. Given what you've seen there, and you don't have to have a show of hands, but how many of you would think, boy, it'd be impossible for those groups to work together? just some of the things that we know about is like, no, that's just not going to work. They're feeling a particular way. This group is feeling another way. They're coming in. They're talking about this. And what about this whole work-life balance business? Are you kidding me? We used to work all day long. Work was life, you know, and that's it. And you get a little bit of that. Depending on where you grew up, that's exactly what takes place. So myths and stereotypes. You might be surprised by this next one, and I hope everybody can see it. And we'll just touch on a few of these. But when millennials and older workers have been surveyed, many of them have the same career goals. I mean, would you believe that making a positive impact on your organization would be something that goes across the board? Now, one thing that we don't want to do when we start having this generational conversation is take out the human element. We're all still humans. We all come in with a lot of the same thought, and we want to make impacts in our organization. Some of us don't know how to make that impact in our organization, nor do we think we have the ability to do it. But these are the things that matter. They want to make a positive impact on the organization, help solve social and environmental challenges. You might not think that the boomers were there. The boomers thought work was it, man. Work over life, we got to do it. We got to put a roof over the head. We got to make things happen. You might not think they were thinking about social and environmental challenges. Work with a diverse group of people. I thought this was interesting. Straight across the board, even back with the boomers. You may not have thought that, but people really want to work with folks that they can learn from. They do. In a lot of situations, they just don't know how. We're getting better at helping diverse groups of people come together and work with each other, whether it's generational, ethnic, you name it. But one thing is for sure, to make the assumption that people know how to do something is where we make a great deal of mistakes. I'll give you an example. We got a new math curriculum when I was at Kalamazoo Central. It came into the district when we were in high school. And the thought was that we were going to have students in groups. So we put all the desks together in fours. So took everybody out of rows, put all the desks together in fours. And we said, we're going to do this thing so that they can have more language. They're going to talk more about math and math terms. And they're going to be able to work together in groups and teams. We made an assumption that teachers knew how to facilitate groups and teams. That was a difficult thing. Because if you take people out of a situation like this and you put them in fours and in tables, that gets loud. That gets noisy. That changes the environment. And if you're not familiar with what it's going to be like when that environment changes and you're used to one particular thing, we're going to have an issue. We're not going to get the result that we want. And we can't make assumptions when we're taking a look at the things. They want to do work that I'm passionate about. We all want to do that. I don't think anybody really walks in and says, look, don't give me anything I care about. All right. You know, yeah, I'm interested in a paycheck, but you know, if I care about it, it's a problem. So, you know, leave that for somebody else. I don't want that. Manage my work-life balance. I think if we polled 10 people in here, had you raise your hand, 10 people would give 10 different answers about work-life balance. And I think we make assumptions about that. Some people think work-life balance is I need to bring my pet to work with me. If I can bring my pet to work, I'm good. We'll stay here. I'll be just fine. Some people just want to have a place to put their bicycle. Some people want to have an opportunity to walk away from their desk if they need to, just to stay connected, because we're connected to everything all the time. But we can't make assumptions as we're doing that. And when we look at this and we discover that people have a lot of the same things that they're thinking about in their job, what are we doing in our organizations to try to help people come forward to those things and have a culture around what we know is to be evident, that the majority of people have a lot of the same things on their minds. But we do make assumptions by what people look like when they're dressed, by how people come into work and the things that they do. When we had students at the beginning of the school year, every single student was always going to be having a successful year as an educator. And we would challenge our staff and say, when does it become that time when you think that particular students are not going to be successful? Is it when someone breaks the door open and they're yelling in the hall, hey, y'all, I'll see y'all later? Is that person going to be as successful as the person that walks in quietly? When do we change our expectation? That's something that we need to think about as leaders as we're moving forward. Communication is key. So I got this kind of this funky point, and I thought, okay, Ron, them let me talk, so I'm going to talk about it. All right? You don't know anything about it. But it's all in a word. There's so much in words. And while I only have a few more minutes to talk about words. So there's this thought of how people feel in the workplace. And mostly they're talking about younger people. But actually, when I started polling younger folks that would be millennials, they didn't have the same answer to me as the Gen Xers did. The Gen Xers flared up at this when I asked them about the term vulnerable. In your mind now, have you thought of or think it would be great or have used the term that said, I wish that my boss was a little more vulnerable. That term vulnerable. Now, some people are like, no, that doesn't sound good, or you've used the term. But really the point of this whole thing is that people are trying to get to a point in their work-life balance and their work relationships with their employers. And those relationships are requiring a lot more giving and sharing than maybe they have in the past. And we may not be ready for that right off the bat, because really what we're talking about is we're talking about a level of a relationship. Now, some people are not very good at relationships. They have tough relationships. Some don't have the skills that would be necessary to have a relationship with somebody that they don't know very well and that they work with, when the expectation is that you just get your job done. But if you have used this term vulnerable, and the only reason I put it up there, and believe me, you could debate me all day, some people did already, about this particular term, because you pull a dictionary out, there's a whole bunch of terms for vulnerable, or you go from one source to another and they have a different definition. But I will tell you that the majority of them come back to susceptible to physical or emotional attack or harm. So I just recently came across a book that was talking about, well, you need to be vulnerable in the workplace. If you're leading people, you got to be vulnerable. Well, I don't know if I'm trying to do this. And I really don't think that that's how they mean the term. So is there anyone willing, just quickly, to say, nope, I think what they mean is this, and you'd like to share it with us? What are people saying when they'd like their employer to be vulnerable? Yes.
I think that's actually a quality that goes into some of the foundation of servant leadership, is being open and honest with self so that they can address some of their own shortcoming as a leader, and being honest and have self-awareness. And that is a way to be open and vulnerable with yourself as a leader so that you can lead others well.
I think that sounds great. Anybody else? Dave?
Being willing to talk about your blind spots and your weaknesses sets a good culture, sets a culture of continual growth mindset. If a leader will do that, then it opens up others to be able to grow. It sets a really positive, humble culture that will grow.
All right, let's take one more. Do we have a hand over here?
You're able to be vulnerable. It allows your team members and those that you work with, similar to what you were saying, Dave, it allows them to see you as a real person. And to your point, I think it will allow them to be more comfortable in being real with themselves and being able to express themselves to help with that, the culture.
Excellent. And these are a lot of things that people said about this. And this is why, when I come back to the term vulnerable, because if we said this and we didn't flesh it out a little bit, or I didn't have the term, you go look it up, this is what you would see. So what we want to do is make sure that in our words and our language and what people are asking and what we're asking is definitely what we think we want to give and what we want to get. And I think that there are times when particular words start to take on different meanings depending on generation. And if we're not paying attention to that, we will have some issues. So you wouldn't hear me going out of here telling everyone, hey, listen, get back there and be vulnerable. You know, you know, bad, you open yourself up, man, from some physical attack, you know, and some harm. Not going to do that. But I will say that I do like authentic. And these are some of the words that came out of the conversation, because this is a conversation that could be ongoing with a lot of people. But I do like authentic. And could authentic be what you, Michelle, described? And so we think that authentic could get in there. Undisputed origin, they want you to be genuine. And we really like humble. Now, once again, short amount of time in front of you today, but I thought that this was a big one, because as we go back in our leadership, or if you are leading people and these terms come up, depending on what term it is, it can really scare you away from trying to get into the meat of really what you need to do to either lead and or be in acceptance of those folks that you are working with. And so that's why I just like to put that term up. There are probably a lot of terms, a lot of words that come up that scare us when they start telling us about things. I say us, so if I'm a Gen Xer and they're telling me how to work with millennials and they're telling me these things, there are words that we need to be very careful when we use to make sure that we get an understanding. Communication is the key. So real quickly, Gen Z in Kalamazoo, as we work with now 6,000 Promise eligible students, 650 just graduated 2 months ago. They're going to be going off. 95% of them are going to touch a college campus. As they go on a college campus, what do we expect that we are going to see? Well, one revelation came to me no more than 10 years ago when I was in a high school. And I looked up and I realized that every student had access to the same information that I had. When I was younger, that wasn't the case. Cell phones and pagers came on the scene. You know, we all knew who had those, right? Doctor or someone else had that type of stuff, but we didn't have it. when we came up and I asked for something, if my dad or mom had it, I said, I want one of those. They said, no. I said, why? Because I said so. And they didn't have it, and it wouldn't have been convenient for them. But it's harder for us today. Convenience is the key. Trying to make sure that we're connected. A lot of bad things have happened in the world, so we want to make sure that we're not going to miss out and or put our children in something susceptible. But just imagine if you're sitting there and you're instructing a class. Everybody has a phone. Does that mean something different? In my opinion, it changes the whole way that we are delivering education. And me and Dave will talk about it forever, and that's a speech for another day, but that's different. And we're not keeping up with the rapid pace of technology, not in our educational system, and I don't know how we're doing in our workforce. Some places are designed for it, some aren't. But people are used to getting information much faster than we're ready to deliver it, and that is an issue. It's nice to be up here today because I think I got about 20 minutes of people's true attention, and that is great, but that is hard to come by. And if you want to figure out what folks are working with, if you find yourself in the baby boomer and you find millennials that are coming in, start to understand some habits and behaviors and talk to people. And if you're a Gen Xer, you want to talk to those boomers and find out exactly what they've been through and how you can bring the organization around and what you can do. Pitfalls, finding out pitfalls before you get there are just amazing. And for millennials that are coming in, we want to make sure that you understand, yes, there is a lot of information and a lot of people talking about millennials coming in and what they need. I need this, I need that, and you know, you got some peanuts around here, and is that wine gonna be out here every day? You know, that type of thing like that. But for millennials in your place coming into the workforce, it's a give and take. We all have to respect each other. We have to have give and take. We're seeing a lot of that as we're coming out of the schools. This is what our schools look like now. Technology, if we're not up on that and we don't understand what people are doing, we're going to have a problem. Real quickly, before we're done, anybody, how can we bridge this gap? Anybody got a great idea? A brief great idea. How are we going to bridge the gap between generations? What have you done in your organization? Yes.
Communication.
Communication is the key, right? All right. We're doing something okay here, Mac. We're all right. Anybody else? What can we do to bridge the gap? Yes.
Can we build teams within the organization that consists of someone from each generation? Instead of looking at how we're so different from one another, look at what each generation brings to the table and then put it all together, and you'll be surprised at the outcome.
And that can be really hard to do. So the suggestion was create a group, a team of people from each one of the generations and put it together. And that can be very hard to do. So while it sounds good, it could be hard to do, but I do believe it's necessary. You're going to have to get opinions from everyone. We brought new members onto our team just recently, 3 Kalamazoo Promise graduates. They're all very young. Some of them have been in the workforce for 4 years. We had a 3-hour session about the Kalamazoo Promise and where we've been and where we're coming from. The next day we debriefed and said, give us one takeaway from yesterday. 2 of those young individuals said, my takeaway was that this isn't top down, that we got to say something at the table, and that was going to be really good for us moving forward. That was really insightful to hear. Because they could have taken away a number of other things, but they took away the fact that I think I'm going to be able to contribute here, which sometimes can be hard, especially if you've worked in a system that is not the way that it goes. To be inclusive, and I know we have folks in here that are looking at that, and the inclusiveness of this situation is an entirely different speech on what we're going to do, but we're going to have to bring people in, and not only generationally, we're going to have to be diverse in so many ways, and every time you look up, there's another way that you can be. That you can be embracing and inclusive. Once again, all hard work. If we don't go away with anything today, man, we got our work cut out for us. And it's just purely human nature, and it's developed in relationships. And how do we do that? Now, most people don't spend a lot of time working on relationships, not reading a lot of books about it. We're looking at self-help. We're doing a lot of things. I don't want to generalize with people, but we do not read. I don't hear a lot of people telling me, I just read the best relationship book. I'm going to be the best boyfriend there is. We just don't hear a lot of that, but we might have to start picking that up because relationships in the workplace are going to be very important. And to prepare every generation for effective leadership, we've got to take those folks that are coming in that are younger and or remember, talent has a way of figuring it out. If you take that model, then you'll find those folks that are out there and you'll bring them in and they'll be able to come into the culture that you're creating. Millennials, Gen Xers, boomers are chasing culture. They want those things that we saw on the list. And if your culture dictates that they have any number of those things that we saw, then you have a very good chance of retaining talent, keeping talent, And then we have to spread that culture throughout our whole region, because those 35,000, that's very real. And they're going to be chasing culture, and they'll chase it from here to California. We need to make sure that it's here in our region. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, everyone.
That was amazing. Vaughn had some great thought-provoking points, and the entire audience was rapt. You know, I just wish that our listeners could have seen the slides, but I bet we can make those available. So if you want to ping us, you know, go to Ron at ronkitchens.com and let us know you want to see the slide deck, and we'll get it to you.
It was great, and it's something that you can probably hear on the podcast, but you couldn't experience until you saw it live, was just how involved the audience was in this conversation. I think one of the things as we went in talking about generations was we hear about this a lot, and we were prepared for that eye roll of, you know, here we are talking about millennials again or talking about generations again. And just knowing how to work with all generations in the workplace and seeing the audience so engaged and so willing to share and ask good questions and really learn how to do this effectively was really inspiring.
It was, and it shows a commitment of leaders that they've got to learn. I mean, I think leaders that quit learning have no right to continue leading. And so to see a room full of men and women who say, I want to get better, I want to understand the next generation, I understand that if my organization is going to succeed, it's going to succeed with people. You know, we're never getting rid of people in that proposition. And so how we do that better, I think everyone walked out of the room with a clearer understanding of what that looked like. And, you know, those of you that have questions about it, I'd love to hear from you. Ron at ronkitchens.com. Send us an email, go to the website. We'd love to follow up with helping you be a better leader and leading better every day. We love you, appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.